Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Ba-da-da-ba-da.
Halala Show Season 4, Mix Number
25.
25. Staying alive. Welcome to the Halala Show, everybody.
Hello, everybody. Can I just say, every time I say the word 20 here, 20, 25, they don't understand it.
Yeah. Like, 20.
Yeah, 20. Because I guess in British, in like the British accent, it's 20.
25. So,
and that's my cue by saying, yes, I'm here in the UK and JC is in the Philippines,
yeah.
But we're still recording the Halo Halo Show. Mm-hmm. And welcome to the podcast. This is a show where we talk about everything and anything under the sun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And for all the new Leche fans out there, if it's your first time listening, welcome to the show. And we do have a little bit of structure, although we talk about pretty much anything here. We start with our lives. It's called Where You Been. Yeah, we love puns here because we're punny. Where You Been, where we talk about our lives, what's going on in the Philippines for me and in the UK for Rica. And I know she's got a lot to talk about Tour de France. I saw that on your Instagram.
Oh my God. I'm obsessed. It is like my brain is 90%, probably 90% Tour de France right
okay.
now. Like, I've subscribed to every Instagram profile, their website, uh-huh. their newsletter, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God.
Anyway. Right. We'll find out about that in a bit. But also we have our TTs, our trending topics for today. What are we discussing? What's on the agenda?
Okay, so this week is actually pretty heavy. So we are talking about issues on the SB19 music royalties
mm-hmm.
that's been happening. And then we are also talking about Conquest 2023. Can I just say that this is not in order?
Yes, sure.
Also, Shirley. And then we are also talking about another thing that I don't have here. Oh, right. It's this issue about this
financial
insurance
advisor.
Company. Yes, financial mm-hmm. advisors and this insurance company that's been blowing up on Facebook. And we are going to talk about that again, not in order.
But if you want to know the order, we have it in the episode description. It'll be there with timestamps in case you want to just skip straight ahead if you don't care about our lives. But you should care because Rica is going to start and she's going to tell us all about the Tour de France and why you're so into it.
Oh.
Why? I know you've been into biking. But why now?
Yes.
Because you tell us why now.
Okay, here's the thing. Okay, I've been into biking and cycling for probably 2 years now, but casually. I feel like the Tour de France is it's a household name. You know it exists. I didn't know what goes on in it. So there is this 8-part documentary that went out on Netflix. So please watch it. It's called Tour de France Unchained.
Oh.
But yeah, so it's an 8-part.
That's cool.
I feel like when you're biking, you don't want yourself to be unchained
because
you want your chain to be okay.
Right.
But this week, probably 90% of what I'm thinking, what's in my brain, is probably Tour de France. So I'm going to start with that for my Where You Been. So I started probably 3 days ago and we finished it. Ryan and I, because Ryan is more into biking than me and he knows more about the Tour de France and everything. So when we started watching it, it was just like, it's destiny. I was destined to be obsessed with the Tour de France. Anyway, so the documentary was shot, I think, in the 2022 tour. So that was last year and people were wearing like masks and everything. So parang I figured, okay, so last year. It was really the start was just so exciting, the first probably two episodes, but every episode for me is just there is something for you to be excited about. But here's the thing, here's one thing that I feel like people will probably be kind of like turned off or hindi naman. Pero parang medyo turned off na rin. The amount of characters playing in the, you know what I mean, in the story. Because in the whole documentary, every episode, there would be a storyline. You know, like what you say in basketball, diba? There are different storylines in the NBA,
yeah,
right?
So it's a drama. So it's where drama happens. That's what the tagline is for NBA on TNT. That's where drama happens.
It is. Exactly. So it's more like they're talking about who's injured, you know, like if they're thinking if this athlete can actually win this stage. And it is just like every episode for me was just so exciting. And I think it's worth the watch. I don't know if, you know, if you're not into cycling or the Tour or any of those, I don't know if you would be excited about it, but I don't know, something just clicked in my brain. And you know me, I don't watch new anything.
Yeah, true.
Anything new, I don't. Well. And it's been such a long time since I last, you know, got excited about a show. I think the last time would be Modern or Brooklyn Nine-Nine probably. Mm-hmm. But this is even a different thing because this is a documentary series.
Yeah.
So it's pretty interesting. I don't know how to explain to you, like I won't get into detail because honestly, for me, I don't even understand the whole of it. But anyway, the Tour de France is a 21-day bike race. And if you guys watch the episode, maintindihan niyo na parang, damn, these people, this isn't just a normal bike race. As in, like, yung mga ahon nila and... Mm-hmm. No, you've been biking before, right?
Yeah.
Like, remember all the times na parang medyo aahon ka and then you would be like, oh no, I'm out of breath.
Right.
You know, multiply that by 1,000. And that's what these people go through every single day. And they even say in the documentary that, you know, for you to be a pro cyclist, you need to love suffering. Because it is. It is suffering.
Triathletes too. And I see triathletes.
Exactly.
That is not fun.
Exactly. And you know what? You know what I realized? Whenever I do watch these extreme sports, because I feel like this is something extreme for me, like the Tour de France. Because talaga yung roots nila, it's not just like the flats that you see. It's like aahon talaga sila. Like the elevation is unreal. It is insane. And remember, like they do it on a bike. Just a bike. Mm-hmm. So just remember that. But whenever I do watch these videos of extreme athletes, marirealize mo talaga that these sports, they're like 90% psychology. Kasi every part of your body, when you're already suffering, would tell you to stop. But these people don't.
Yeah.
Diba?
Muhammad Ali quote, like he says something like he only counts the reps when it hurts, because those are the ones that count. Like,
oh,
I stop when the reps hurt. You know, when the reps hurt, I'm done.
Like something starts to hurt.
I'm taking my 2.5 minute breather. You know?
I know. And I think the most popular theme when it comes to pro cycling would be Lance Armstrong and doping, right?
Yeah, for
and
sure.
they did kind of touch on that, because there is this one sports director or coach, one of the teams. He was one of the teammates of Lance Armstrong when he got caught with doping. And he did say outright in this documentary that, yeah, I was, you know, I was doping too, because everybody was.
Yeah.
And just to level the playing field, that's what everybody did. But his team right now, their main advocacy is making doping uncool. So when you're doing drugs, you're like, parang kadirs.
Stay in school, don't do drugs, stay on your bike.
But I mean, it has always been uncool. You know, I want to go on the record that I never thought drugs are cool.
Okay.
But that's yun yung advocacy nila ngayon. Right. So I think that's like a really nice storyline as well. So yeah, I can't say that I totally understand the Tour de France as of now, because honestly, one of the things that I don't understand, and they discuss this all the time in this documentary, is when they say that parang babanat ka too early. You know, you put the gas on, you put the pedal on the gas, or the other way
around?
The gas on the pedal? You put the pedal on the metal.
Pedal on the metal, maybe.
Too early, too fast. And naisip ko, ako, I can't understand that concept. Kasi parang, when you put the pedal on the metal, hindi ba parang dapat tuloy-tuloy na yun?
Yeah,
but then you realize these people have been cycling yung these hard routes every single day for 21 days. So at one point, mapapagod talaga sila even if they say that they're like a really good cyclist. So it's just, for me, I think, I don't know if I can say that this is such a good documentary, but I truly, truly enjoyed it. And right now, I have subscribed to all of the newsletters. I am updated with the Tour de France, the newsletters.
To the email? I know. Goes to your emails?
Emails, bro.
Dude, those are the ones that I unsubscribe to. I know. You know, at the bottom of the email, my unsubscribe link. So you subscribe to the newsletter for the Tour de France.
I did the other way around, bro. But I now know where to go, where to watch and update myself when the Tour de France is happening, because it's happening on July, I believe. And that's 21 days. And we'll see if the same people that I saw on the on the documentary would be joining this year. So we'll see, because I have some, you know, I have some bets this year. And actually, me and Ryan, we were like, we should bet on different teams, and we want to see like who wins the most stages and stuff like that.
Galing.
So just remember, I think the most parang amazing thing for me, the concept of Tour de France is biking for 21 days. 21 days silang umaahon. Isipin mo, and they only have a few hours to recover. And actually, alam mo ba, yung every time they show those scenes, this isn't a spoiler, but every time they show those scenes na they have a deep tissue massage. You know how like athletes have those, yung parang sarili nilang PT. Dude, parang ang sarap.
I know.
Like, parang gusto ko din. But you know what? Before, I've actually had a sports deep tissue massage. And it's actually not that enjoyable. Yeah, parang medyo may onting pain din. It's painful. It is painful.
Dun sa PT ko may ano. I mean, kala mo nuatay, but it's not, bro. Like they make you. No. They hurt.
They don't have those candles.
No aromatherapy. They're literally digging in there to get like all the tight tissue and shit around the muscles that you know. If you have any, for me, kasi I have a lot of like I'm super inflexible. So when they tawag sa PT ko bugbugan. So I mean that literally that's what it's called. Bugbugan. Yeah, literally. That's what they call it. So, yeah, I get what you mean. It looks great because you see the muscles being relaxed, but that shit is not fun.
Yeah. Dude, alam mo, gano'n na ako obsessed with these pro cyclists. I've already followed them on Instagram. I've followed their spouses on Instagram. And I know what their kid looks like.
The wags of cyclists. Wow. Okay.
Actually, they're also shown in the documentary.
I get.
Because obviously, when you're a pro athlete and you have a family, they play a big part in your life as an athlete. Kasi, syempre, you also leave them behind and then they're your support system. And then when you're down, they're there for you. So, parang, it's such a good story for me. So, I truly recommend Tour de France Unchained on Netflix. Please watch it. And I don't even know what to tell you about my week because that took up most of my week. But here's the thing, okay? I've always been into cycling. I did bring my bike here in the UK and it's a vintage road bike, but I did want like a proper road bike. I do know that it's still a proper road bike what I have, but I did buy yesterday.
Wow, because of the bike. Show?
Not really. It's just that because I've always wanted a road bike, and this is like the dream, my dream bike. As in, mind blown talaga the way I was so, it was so easy to decide na parang, Let's buy. Let's go.
Nice.
And I think, you know, this documentary for pushing me to buy my dream bike.
Sakto may sponsor tayo next week, di ba? So
yes, thank you. No, but yeah, so I bought a bike yesterday. It was really nice. It's a specialized bike and the color is so nice.
What
is it? It's green. It's green and gold, but the kind of green, parang royal green, yung parang ganun, yung deep green. Mm-hmm. And then when we were on our way home, because you can take it on the train, me and Ryan, we were on the way home. Sabi, ano, he ruined it because he said, actually, parang mukhang boysen yung paint mo. And
I'm like, something wrong with okay boysen. Okay naman yung boysen.
Okay naman yung boysen. Pero wala nga ako din sa reference. And I'm like, oh man. but yeah, I'm super excited. So after this recording, I'm just going to eat breakfast and we're going to go biking.
Oh.
And I'm going to try on cleats, dude. I mean, I know that I've tried cleats before on an indoor bike, but it's totally different because this time around when you're wearing cleats, those shoes that attaches to the pedals, you can literally forget to unclip yourself and you can fall.
Yeah. As in, yeah, sasama ka sa bike mo, di ba, if you get hit.
Sasama ka talaga sa bike mo. You're one
with the bike. You're like an Autobot. You're one being,
yes. So yeah, I just want to recommend that documentary. And then what else happened? Boring week.
Oh, but you know what? The way you talk about Tour de France, right? You actually mentioned it during like the 5 seconds of pre-prod we have for the free Zoom that we use, is that a lot of people got into Formula One because of a Netflix show. But the thing is, a lot of my friends weren't into Formula One. So the way that you... then they're super into it now and they follow all the drivers and whatnot. So maybe I don't think you have to be into biking probably to get into this.
Exactly.
Tour de France
thing.
And I think Tour de France and they probably partnered with Netflix. I'm guessing if it was really run by
I think it's the same creators of the Formula One documentaries on Netflix.
Because Formula One was like a dying brand before the Netflix show came. Because, you know, people didn't really know much about it. And then the only thing I knew about Tour de France was Lance Armstrong. But then because of the whole doping thing, you know, he kind of got wiped from the record books. So maybe Tour de France, they needed a boost of, marketing in a sense. So this probably is their way to capture new fans. Like, literally, there's so many young kids now that know F1. Like, they...
I know.
It's crazy. So Tour de France might be like that for them.
And I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait to have money. I can't wait to have a job. Because me and Ryan were like, you know what? We should book a trip to France one of these years to watch the Tour de France, like, in one of the stages. Because I think it's like unreal to be there to see them. But then again, I saw this one TikTok that kind of like mocks your experience of watching the tour because you wait there for 6 hours, they pass by you for 2 minutes, and then you're done.
Then,
obviously, kasi hindi sila pwede sundan, diba? Yes. So you're just going to see them pass by. But grabe, seeing the peloton, if you guys don't know what that is, it's like that group of riders that you see in a race na parang there's a reason behind why they're all bunched up. Kumbaga parang they're protecting themselves from the wind and everything, wind resistance and everything. But to see a peloton like move, it is just unreal. Hindi ka makakapaniwala kung paano sila like nagsistay ng ganun for like a long distance.
Yeah.
Kasi diba recently we watched Ride London live here in London.
Yeah, I remember that.
So it's a bike race. Tapos parang nakita namin yung peloton. And for me, that's my first time seeing that live in front of me. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. That's what's amazing about it is when we watch Ride London, we got to watch the female riders. So parang medyo na-inspire ako na parang, oh, that cool. Because honestly, they look cool.
Makaraming entry-level peloton sa pesos.
You mean entry-level bike?
Well, I guess entry-level bike. But the peloton's the one you want, right? Like
No. The peloton is... I think it's also a brand.
Yeah,
it's a brand. But the peloton, actually, when it comes to races, it's that bunch of bikers that you see.
That's what you call it.
All the peloton. Okay. But it is also a brand. So right now it's a brand. It's indoor bikes.
Yeah. Yun nga yung alam ko. Indoor bikes. I thought it was a okay.
If you look it up, the peloton, it's a term. It's a term that they use in cycling. Na yun yung parang group of riders that they
Yes.
Okay, gets. So maririnig mo doon na parang somebody broke away from the peloton, meaning gusto na nila manalo. Mm. They want to go ahead. Yeah.
Nice,
but
nice.
At the same time, it's also not a good idea to break away from the Peloton sometimes because you get all the wind resistance. So, I don't know.
Parang army. You know that army when they carry their shields? I mean, I know it's different, but like it's the same kind of concept. Yeah. It's a tactical thing.
Same kind of, yeah, exactly.
Tactical move.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting, man.
So, anyway, that's my life and it's been super exciting. But one thing that I also want to discuss is my work placement. So it happened again this week. We have a 1 day work placement with a company that I really want to work for, TBH. Yeah. So parang medyo I'm stepping up my game. So I had a meeting again with my mentor. And because if you guys don't know, what I study here in the UK is actually audio documentaries, which means, I study how to make a documentary, but in audio form. But it can definitely be transferred to like visual documentaries. But anyway, it's been also really nice to kind of have that work placement slash internship with the documentary in mind, just watching this documentary about the Tour de France. As in, sabi ko sa iyo, medyo na-take over talaga yung buhay ko. But I had that mindset while watching the documentary, thinking that, sometimes when you watch a documentary, you don't really get to analyze it because you enjoy the whole film, right? Pero minsan napapaisip ako dun sa mga scenes na parang they show you this scene worth like 40 seconds. But that interview was probably an hour.
Yeah, for sure.
Yun yung di mo ma-realize na parang ang tagal siguro nila nag-film dyan, pero parang 40 seconds na yung kinuha. And then, this is what I told my mentor. I was like, that's gonna be my life. I'm gonna be recording for an hour with this person, but apparently, I'm just going to use 20 seconds of their life.
Yung mga clickbaity, usually sa mga Netflix docs, ganun, they put in all those shock value statements.
Kasi syempre, you just want them to say one thing. You want them to say na, I've been waiting for this my whole life. That line. But for you to get there, you need to kind of like talk them up about it. You know what I mean?
Or sana mag-drugs na lang ako, di ba? That's the line.
Exactly.
I should have taken more drugs. That would be.
So it was also very enjoyable for me to watch this documentary and the recent documentary that I just watched, which is about, again, cycling. Wala na ako, iba pinapanood. Remember, did I tell you about that? The documentary I watched about doping?
You did. Yes, you did. And then you said I remember you were talking about like you were thinking of like what it would feel like to push that. Yeah, to push that.
Exactly.
The Russian team. Yeah, I remember you talked about that.
Yeah, so the film is called Icarus. It's also a documentary about cycling and doping. So, yeah, it was just for me, parang in that mindset, in that headspace of making a documentary myself. But I kind of also took notes a little bit. So if you guys have thoughts about it or kind of have experience in making a documentary, I honestly want to hear about it. So,
reach out.
Kasi parang I'm still in that mindset. So I think I'm gonna fin on that because I feel like I can go on and on and on.
Yeah.
And if something comes up, maybe in the middle, I'll just update.
Sige.
All right. Fin.
Speaking of F1, right? One of our listeners who is also only 18 years old, her name is Bea.
Wow.
She's a big fan of Formula One. I know this because I hosted her debut a couple days ago. Yeah. We have Gen Z fans. We have Gen Z listeners.
No way.
For real, man. Yeah, dude. She even messaged me after. I said, I can't wait to hear about your where you been.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Dude, shout out to Bea, her dad, Daddy Francis. Man, it was like such a cool, probably the best designed debut, like in terms of the styling of the venue. Man, it was really pretty, man. Like such a cool place. It was in Palazzo Verde, dun sa south. You know what I'm talking about? It looked like a Disney castle when you drive by it. Have you ever been there? Like, sa south? Past Alabang. Parang MCX yung exit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what's
so...
the venue again?
Palazzo Verde. But I think I've hosted there before.
Yeah, and they make really great designs for events.
Yeah, it's
and
it's
even
pretty.
The place itself, diba?
Yeah. It's cool. Like, the place itself, it looks like there's multiple venue halls. There's also a coffee shop there. It's called, like, the Glass House. But it, it looks like you're really entering a royal place. Like, even, I don't know if it was just because of the debut that night, but there were like guys with trumpets. Fucking
no.
When people would come in. Doo, 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 doo.
No. Yeah, man. That would give me so much anxiety. For real, bro. I'd be like in the middle of it. Stop, stop, stop.
And I have to say, man, the debut was really great. And for me, I always tell people a debut is only as fun as the friends and the family that really get into it. And yeah, I don't know, Gen Z, man, they're easy to get in. You know, they're easy to they're easy to manipulate. And you know what? I want to share
in a good way.
In a good way. And I want to
let's
share.
Use the word influence. Okay, there. They're easy to influence.
Okay, and I don't know because I think maybe Bea, the debutante, she might have been during doing a costume change. So, oh yeah, she was. So because we had to do stretch parts of the program, and I ran out of games, like because I was provided two games by Bea. And there is a long list, but the stretches were so long na naubusan na ng mga ano. Like we did this one game, the Last Man Standing, whatever. And it was a fun version because since she wanted to get her friends into it, yung mga tipong please sit down if you are into red flags or something like that. Yung mga Gen Z stuff, you know what I'm talking about?
Okay, okay,
yeah,
okay.
Like if you're down bad for someone. So yung mga boomer society, ano yun?
Parang ano yun? I'm just gonna sit down. Right. I'm down now.
But so I ran out of all the, like, siguro mga 40 plus yun. And I ran out. So I started I had to come up with other stuff to stretch. And I don't know, like, I could tell, like, medyo mahugot yung mga friends nga. And I literally, because I had GCs to give out, I was like, does anyone want to share a breakup message? I don't know why, bakit ko naisip. And dude, like, five of them raised their hands. Like,
really?
Let me read this, you know, thing for the whole audience for some GCs. I mean, I don't know. I would never do that. So it was just, I don't know. Maybe it's just the Gen Z thing now, but they're really open about like sharing everything.
Sharing.
Yeah. But overall, it was a fun time. Bea might not know this, and I'm not, because I think the debut was overall a success, but I think Bea will agree with me. There was this one part of the program, about Uso ngayon sa 18 Roses. They're slow dances, right? It's a tradition. But then,
yeah.
TikTok, right? TikTok dances is what I see in a lot of these debuts nowadays. So yung mga friends nila, they do the choreography to, you know, a viral TikTok song, and yun na yung dance nila para sa 18 Roses. But the prod team, besides the audio and the DJ guy who I work closely with, we were all on the same page, but the prod team was not, they were very, hindi ko alam kung kabado or they're new or amateur. They did not prepare, man. As in, and I'm sure you relate to me on this. Minsan, as a host, di pa dapat mag-host ka lang eh. You're not supposed to cue people or ask them, like, tell them, like, are these people ready? They should be the one telling you. So even at the start of the program, di ba may acknowledgement of parents and family. So in this case, they wanted na lalabas yung family when I acknowledged them, like from the front doors. And I asked the coordinator before I went up to do my intro, ready to basila, are you guys good to go? And I said, she said, yes. And then I said, is the debutante ready as well? And she said, yes. So of course, oh, diba, tuloy na ho. And then when I said, please welcome the family of basta ganun yung spiel ko. And I pointed to the door and I was waiting.
Nobody came out.
And it was literally, it took 4 minutes for them to come out. It was crazy.
Oh my.
It was so awkward. Oh, and then the TikTok dance naman, they didn't get the files. They were playing it from a Google Drive. So, and mahina yung internet. So, nagka-cut out and they had to cue the next song. It was just not smooth, man.
Oh, no.
So, yun lang for me was the only thing that was a little bit rough. But overall, man, I think Bea would agree. Because, oh, let me read the message real quick. Because I want everyone to know that I am down with Gen Z. She said, I can't wait for the new podcast, but also my guests are asking about you right now because you're so cool, Dao.
You're cool,
bro.
You're freaking cool.
I'm so cool. So that was
just for the record, he is not cool.
I am freaking cool, all right? And you know, I know I do a good job whenever after the hosting, like without prompting, like people will say, yeah, like, good job. And I felt that that night. So I had a lot of fun, Bea. Thank you so much. And thank you for being a Leche fan. I was going to gift her a shirt, a Lala shirt. I completely forgot.
You can send it.
I'm just kidding. Next time, I'll get it to you. All right. And the other thing, so back to back. So that was on Tuesday. Yesterday, Rika G, I had a video shoot for SM Cyberzone
for a YouTube,
I don't know if gagawin nilang shorts, but basta para siyang tech series for SM Cyberzone. And it was fun. It lasted so long though, because we had to wait for, because meron parang ano, may mga scheduling dun with the tech brands. Okay. And there was like a tawag nila, diba, KOL, key opinion leader, but it wasn't an influencer. It was more like yung KOL ng brand. So right, who knew all the products and whatnot. So yun, parang may scheduling issues. So it was mostly me just waiting in the air-conditioned room with the Starbucks that they gave me and some Jollibee.
Can't complain,
man. Literally. Right? And they were apologizing to me like, sorry na, JC. I was like, man, I'm having a good time. I'm hanging out here. But it was fun, man. Back in front of the camera. It's been a while since I've kind of done. Well, I did something for that real estate thing that should be coming out soon. But I guess I think the overall thing is like work is coming back, man. I know I've been saying that for the last few weeks. But dude, this whole week. So tomorrow I'm going to SM Marilao. I'm hosting for NLEX. For the Paw Patrol, which I did last December. So I'm doing another series of that.
Paw Patrol?
Yeah, man.
Meron kang character that you...
See, Rubble's the only one I know, man. Sorry, man. Rubble, Marshall, Sky, and something. Yun sa script ko eh.
Dude, kids are so into Paw Patrol.
They fucking love Paw Patrol.
They love it.
Those little fuckers get so wild over the mascots, bro.
It is a huge brand right now.
I was so surprised how big it was. Yeah, man. It's a Nickelodeon show, in case you don't know what that is. It's huge. I guess it's like their equivalent of ano ba yung mga Teletubbies siguro of our time, maybe. Maybe
I guess. Even,
well, Teletubbies.
Sobrang tanda na.
I don't know. Ano ba?
SpongeBob.
SpongeBob kasi hindi siya ano eh. It's like one of those. Paw Patrol is like one of those educational cartoon shows.
Ano nga ba yun yung five? Wait.
High five?
Hindi, lima sila eh. Wait. Basta yung green siya na superhero. Green.
What the fuck? Who's that, bro?
Okay,
si Captain Planet.
So
Captain Planet. You mean Captain Planet? Hindi, five din sila. That's my superhero. He's green.
Parang green siya. Tapos black and green yung colors niya as a superhero. Oh my God,
brother! I don't know what you're talking about, man. Okay. Mandela effect.
We just became so uncool. All
I know. But anyway, I'm hosting for Paw Patrol, and then, dude, I booked four weddings already, like for the later in the year, and then I have another like two next year already. So I'm just really happy that. I'm happy that events are back, but I'm happy that I'm hindi pa laos, man. People like me, man. People still find and reach me, so. And
plus, it's not being laos just because you've been in the industry for a while. It means that you're experienced. They can count on you.
I like that.
Pag walang, dude, ako na magsasabi sa inyo, to people who are looking for an events host, pag biglang walang kwenta yung prodimyo, JC can do it. Pero don't do that. Pero, you know, he can.
But yeah, that's pretty much my week as well, man. Just busy. I mean, voiceover work has been coming in as well. So I'm really happy about that. And I'm investing. That's what I guess to round off my worry being, I've already made up my mind. I'm budgeting for it already. I'm going to buy the DJI wireless microphone. Ganda nun pare, but it's roughly almost 20K. It's like buying a new camera. But I really want it. I'm just doing my research. I was debating between the Rode wireless or the DJI, but I work with the DJI with the real estate shoot, and it's nice, man. And lahat na kasama sa package eh, for the iPhone connector if you want to connect.
Dalawa na ba yun? Or
dalawa
just
na
yun,
dalawang transmitter na.
No, but the microphone.
Yeah, dalawa na.
Okay.
Dalawa ng transmitter. Okay, cool. Yeah, and then you have the option if you want to buy your own lapel. But okay daw yung ano eh. the standalone transmitter. It works really well. And it has a magnetic clip. So in case you want to buy one too, Rika G, I know that you're going to be doing a lot of recording and stuff for your channel, for your YouTube, and for also for your course. Maybe that might be something to look into. But anyway.
Actually.
Yeah, go ahead.
Speaking of mics, sorry, just to like, you know, dive into it. Recently, because we do have a whole department in our university where you can borrow all types of mics. So I'm super excited because I just rented out like a bunch of mics for me to try on for this course. Because when I do get into industry and I apply for a job, I can say that, oh, I have experience in this mic. So I rented out. So I rented out like the normal reporter's mic that you see on TV. And then I rented out two radio mics that is the same. It's the same concept as the DJI, but this one, you kind of have to plug it into a recorder. So a Zoom H5. You see that, right?
Gets. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And then what's I'm excited about this one stereo mic that I borrowed. It's this huge mic with like a dead rat, yung parang
dead
fluffy
cat.
Thing.
Dead cat.
Dead cat. Dead rat.
Dead cat.
Okay, sorry, dead cat.
With okay, tama.
With a dead cat.
And
I'm excited to use it for like recording sound sa room. Hindi kasi siya yung pang voice talaga. It's I more like recording the sound, let's say when you're near, when you're in a, what do you call this, a computer room or something that. Yung parang to pick up those little sounds. So, pero malaki siya. So it's not stealth. It's not stealth, right?
Yeah.
So super excited na ako gamitin yung mga mics na yun. So I get what you feel.
Yeah, man. So yeah, that's our where you been. Shall we wapow to our first TT?
Wapow.
Okay, let's talk about the insurance thing. So there was a financial advisor from, well, I'll just say it here, Prulife UK. Her name was Nina Santos. She posted on Facebook a post that went viral for, I would say, the wrong reasons. She was sharing what was supposed to be, I'm guessing, proof that her job was like she did a great job because she was able to help get a death claim for a family that bought insurance through her. But the way that it was presented in the in her post, it was not well received. So I won't read the whole post, but basically it was something. It went like this. Yesterday was one of the most unforgettable and meaningful days in my life at Prulife UK. My first death claim was approved. Tapos yung emoji na yung parang praying hands that's supposed to be actually a high five, diba? And then there's just like a picture. There are like pictures of her kind of. It was like basically she was like celebrating that the claim was approved, but also it felt like it was in bad taste because, you know, it's a death claim. It's not something to really be celebrating. And along with that, because, you know, financial advisors, they usually support their fellow advisors. A lot of fellow financial advisors posted similar kind of posts doing similar things, like with heart emojis, like 3 months lang din yung akin, blah, blah, blah. And people are saying that it should not have been done this way. It was very insensitive. Yeah. And what are your thoughts on this?
Actually, what I saw was the post of this person on Facebook. His name is Ferdinand Estrella.
Yes.
And the core, the whole message of his Facebook post is kind of saying that, you know, we should self-reflect when it comes to posting these kinds of posts, because I think at the heart of the message of the Facebook posts of these financial advisors, it is celebrating a career goal that they have. It is just, like you said, in bad taste. And in this post of Ferdinand, he did say that maybe the company can have some sensitivity training for their insurance agents because it is kind of a complex subject.
Yeah.
Because yes, you are celebrating your career goal, but to somebody's expense, obviously, somebody died and it is still a human being. It is somebody's father, mother, brother, sister, and for you to put it in these words and to just kumbaga parang dinidetach mo yung sarili mo from that death. I'm a little bit iffy with that.
Yeah.
Because honestly, for me, sorry to cut you off, but no, honestly, for me, when I applied for life insurance. It did kind of feel, when they were discussing the terms of my insurance, it did kind of feel, ano bang tawag mo sa ganung term? Antiseptic?
Antiseptic. You mean?
Yung parang siyang, they just talk about it like it's a thing. So death. And tama ba yung term ko?
Hindi ko alam kung tama yung term mo, but I kind of know where you're coming.
You know what I mean? Like, they were telling me na parang, when your limbs are cut off, this is what you get. When two fingers are cut off, this is what you get. Okay. And when I was talking to my financial advisor, kumain pa ako ng spaghetti. So parang nung kausap niya ako when it comes to that, and for them to talk about it that way, I get it because it's their job. They do it every single day. Diba?
Yeah, I get it.
And I don't know, for you, do you think that you agree with Ferdinand, who says that, you know, they can have some sensitivity training, and what do you think can change?
Yeah, the sensitivity training, I think, would be a good thing. But for me, it's just more common sense. Like, you don't really do that in all aspects of life. You don't kind of ever put some sort of celebratory thing when at someone else's expense. But the sentence here that really catches my attention from Ferdinand is, the issue here is not, because he's not criticizing the insurance. Because for me, I've hosted for insurance companies before, and the thing that I see the people are really passionate about is helping people, and there's nothing wrong with that. And that's why I think that insurance companies, you know, whether you agree with them or not, they're doing a good service, right? But the issue is the predatory and insensitive marketing practices. And you know what? It's not all insurance agents. I just want to make that clear. It's not everyone.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you have a friend, a relative out there that posts on their social media, and maybe they're a financial advisor. And you know what they post, man? The stuff that they post is, kung sana na lang kumuha kayo ng insurance, you would have made a claim. I know somebody that died and they didn't get the insurance that was offered. They could have had this much. Like, that shit is like kicking somebody when they're down. And it's and it instills fear tactics. And I get that maybe that's what sells. And you know what? Sometimes a lot of these advisors work on commission. And, and sa totoo, malaki din yung commission eh. So I get why sometimes they fall into these tactics of using these words and these phrases and these like visual imagery of, you better get now or you're gonna regret it. That shit is like a little bit threatening. You know what I mean? It's a little ominous for me. And that's the only thing I don't really stand with on that. But for me, there's nothing wrong with insurance, and nothing wrong, especially like Pru Life. I've hosted for them before. They were very great to me. And, you know, I see what the stuff they do. I give them props for it. But not just Pru Life, but all financial advisors, if you go down that route where you're more concerned about hitting targets and you're more concerned about, look what I've done as an insurance that has made your life better, rather than, I hope that your life is better because I was able to help, rather than, look what I've done for you and I'm proud of myself for doing this for you. It's like you're patting yourself on the back. And I think that's what the original post kind of felt like. Whether it was intentional or not, it's still not the way to go about it. Yun lang. I mean, that's just my final thoughts on it. And yeah, it's, you know, I think even some FAs will agree with me. There's a little bit of, I would say, like a cult mentality sometimes behind certain practices. And I think that's something that they should stay away from, because.
And that's,
No, that's it. I mean, that's just what I'm saying. Like, sometimes it becomes like a hive mind of, we are doing you a service. Like, like, I know it sounds weird. Like, it's hard for me to kind of put into words, but it sounds like, look at what we're doing.
Here's the thing. I feel like, yeah, you do have a point, but I feel like when they do make these posts on Facebook, maybe for me, parang iniisip ko lang na, maybe that's not really what they're thinking. But like you said, it is already a practice that they see from other people.
Definitely. Kasi, I mean, hindi nga sila, they don't mean
to. Parang medyo nakasanayan.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying. Exactly. Like, that's just probably how they see effective. I'm sure they don't have evil in their hearts. You know, I'm not saying like this is something that they're doing intentionally, but it's the way that the industry works. And of course, you go along, you go with the flow, and you see that this has worked for one of your friends and they were able to get 10 new, you know, policies signed because of this kind of post. Of course, sasama ka din eh. But maybe, yun lang, just kind of reflect on maybe the emojis you use and the wording, yeah, probably.
And the hashtags.
The hashtags, right?
The hashtags are kind of like, I am a little bit uncomfortable with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
you know, in the same post for you to have a hashtag and say that somebody died. It's a little
weird.
Yeah.
A little weird.
So...
But overall, I just want to, you know, be clear. I have nothing against insurance agencies and everything. I think that, like, you know, it's very important to have insurance, especially like a lot of these insurance things also have financial investments along with it. Right. So do your research. And I think it's a good thing to put your money into if you really like do your due diligence. So just to make it clear, lang.
It must be so. Oh, yeah, definitely. We're not painting, you know, people who work in the insurance.
Not at all.
Industry,
not at all. They're the nicest people. They're so nice. The ones that I work with. They're really nice.
I guess for me, just looking at it, it must be such a complicated thing for you to attach emotion onto it every single time because it's your job. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know how sometimes you feel like, paano kaya? You know, how do doctors work when they see or when they encounter death all the time? Kasi parang yung mga ganon.
Immune na daw sila, sabi ng mga, at least from family members.
Hindi sila namamatay?
No. Uy, benta yun. That was a good one. You're witty, huh? No, immune daw sila sa, when I ask, like, do you ever get affected by, you know, a patient dying?
Yun din yung question ko eh.
Yeah, and most of the time daw, parang they understand that it's just, it happens. Of course, though, it's not easy, but I guess you're in the world long enough, it just becomes something that happens, right? I mean, they show that kind of thing in doctor shows all the time. You watch Grey's Anatomy, right? The new person who's there sees someone dies and they get affected, and then the senior doctor comes in and says, you know, like, it happens. Di ba ganun? Di ba usually may scene na ganun?
Feeling ko, ano, maling reference yung Grey's Anatomy. Because I feel like every single patient, every single patient that they have on Grey's Anatomy, they have some sort of relationship.
Okay. Yun pala. Okay.
Yung isang pinakasalan niya while on their deathbed.
Oh, there you go, man.
I get what you mean.
Any more thoughts on this, Rika G?
Not so much. I think it's really more of like an internal thing that they need to address. But yeah, looking at the comments and everything, I feel like these comments are just kind of like, it's part of it. Because when something goes viral, obviously people will comment na parang, actually masama sila ganyan. You know, take everything with a grain of salt, guys.
True that.
And think about it also. Think about it. It's you know, it's a whole complex thing for me.
Mm-hmm. I get it. All right. Shall we wapow to our next TT?
Wapow.
All right. Let's talk about conquest. Yes. This actually happened early on in the month. So I think a week before or like a week and a half ago. But we didn't talk about it. But I feel like it's something that is relevant, not only because of this event itself, but just events being held in the Philippines in general. This was called Conquest 2023. So Conquest, if you don't know, it was established actually in 2017. It was a high school. This is something I just found out while reading the article today. It started as a high school project in Iloilo. Did you know that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And from an origin of, I think, like 700 attendees. The total number of attendees that actually got in, and that's a little preface of what we're going to talk about, actually got in was up to 33,000 people, which happened early on this month. But the big issue, Rika G, with Conquest 2023 was they oversold the tickets, and there was no organization or structure really with lines. And I know you read somewhere that there was rude staff also involved, and apparently they had oversold it by almost like double. That's what they're saying.
So did they sell 70,000 tickets?
I believe
that is
so.
The question.
I think so, because I mean, you wouldn't go there if you didn't have tickets. Apparently there were at least 60,000 people that were trying to get into an event like Yunga was planned for only 30,000 people. And a lot of the lines, if you see videos, there's a lot of videos that went viral online. I saw this mostly on TikTok, mostly on Twitter. But on TikTok, videos of people who are passing out because the lines were outdoors, like out the doors, literally.
Right.
And, you know, when it comes to these kinds of events, it's not anything that's new. I mean, even Asia Pop Comic Con way back a few years ago also had similar issues. Why do you think, before we actually delve into like, you know, what we can do to fix this, why do you think so many of these cons and these events and these expos are not prepared? Why do you think that is?
I'm not sure I can answer that question, but I feel like in my head, is it more of like a production problem? You know what I mean? Like internal problem?
Parang walang foresight eh. Like it's like they did not plan to, did they think that it wouldn't succeed enough?
But then again, why would you, because you know that these halls, these event places, they do have capacity.
Yeah.
They have capacity. Mm. So you, parang napapaisip lang ako na parang wouldn't you follow that capacity, that number that you have na parang, okay, this hall only houses 30,000 people.
Yeah.
Diba? Mm. So I'm not sure if yeah, maybe like you said, they're thinking maybe they're not confident that a lot of people will come. But then again, it's a huge con. Mm-hmm. So I mean, conference, hindi con, like,
yeah,
conference, sila, conference. Conference.
But I mean, I guess no. That's what, that was one of the, like, the play on words that people were using. People felt cheated out of, you know, the event.
They some walked people are right saying, into it, dude.
Yeah, some people were saying that it wasn't normally actually an issue of overselling. Mm. It was more that in terms of planning, because the event itself, the 2023 Conquest, had five venues within their 3-day. It was right. A 3-day event. But I guess the team did not anticipate that most people would only stay probably in one venue. Because for those who don't know what Conquest is, they just had a lot of like streamers, gamers, basically pop anime culture kind of stuff. You know, people who are into all those kinds of things. There
and
were
it's
a lot
a
of
big
names.
Industry now.
Mm, there
yeah,
were,
it's
there,
a big
there
industry.
Were big names, esports names as well. That were there. So of course, you know, you have so many people that are going. And if you've ever been to any, like I've been to Comic-Con, there are some other places in Comic-Con, other smaller halls and whatever, but those are more niche. You know what I mean? Like it's not like, for example, Marvel and Disney and all those would be in hall 20 or whatever. Hall H is what they call it, I think, where that's where most people would want to go. So they did not anticipate that maybe people would only go to one or two. So that's why there was a lot of congestion as well and a lot of confusion. And
iniisip ko kasi, all the tickets, like the 70,000 tickets that apparently was sold, can you come in like any day? Kasi parang iniisip ko, aren't they going to sell a number of tickets per day?
Per day? Yeah, that to me, I'm not sure. I was reading through the articles. I couldn't really clarify because I didn't go myself. So I wouldn't be able to speak on that. But it seems to be that people who weren't able to get in day one and day two were issued a badge or whatever to be able to go to day three. So maybe it was just an open like thing. Like if you had a badge for the day, you could go in. Siguro kukunin lang yung ticket or isa stamp or something. But right. I don't know for sure. But one thing that I do know is that for 2022 daw, last year, there were a lot more signages and they were placed in strategic areas daw, according to PhilStar and the people who kind of were interviewed. This year, wala daw yung mga ganun. So a lot of things were also missed. So people weren't able to find the right venue. There was also no baggage counter this year, apparently. And the resting area that was just a floor instead of an entire room with actual chairs. Last year, daw may mga chairs for waiting and resting. Mm-hmm. This year, wala daw eh. And if you see the videos on TikTok, yun nga, you'll see all these people, yung naka-anime, ang init kaya mag-cosplay, di ba?
Oh, yeah.
And they're just fucking sprawled out on the floor. It looks uncomfortable as fuck. And yeah, I mean, it was a failure of an event. And he was even acknowledged by the guy behind Conquest. He tweeted and saying that, you know, they failed. He failed everybody. And that he wanted to do it well, but they didn't. Mm.
Here's the thing. So I've been seeing comments saying that, you know, obviously it's a common saying that there's no such thing as bad publicity, right? Mm-hmm. Or bad publicity is still publicity.
Yes.
Right. So do you think that this kind of put them in the limelight. Obviously, right now in a bad light.
Yeah.
But probably making it a bigger thing for next year.
Possibly. I mean, for me, I'll be honest with you, I'd never heard of Conquest until this happened. Mm. The thing is, maybe I'm not the market for Conquest. That's why I never heard of it. But I feel like I would be because I know a lot of the big names that came. But for me, it's not good for the people that went this year, obviously, because those are the ones that they really were excited to go. And if I had gone that year, or for example, I've been to like events where they hold something every year. And I remember, I forgot what it was. I don't want to name drop something just in case I got it wrong. But I went to an event one year. I really enjoyed it. The next year I went again and it was very disappointing and I never went again. So maybe to answer your question, it could go either way. It could attract new people for next year. But the true fans that have been going maybe year after year,
it must be so disappointing.
Especially for those who started in 2017 in Iloilo. Imagine if you had attended their first one and you were going every year. And then finally you get to this year and it's like a shit cluster shit. Cluster shit. Cluster fuck.
Pinagsama-sama na yung lahat.
Shit, diba?
Pwede naman.
Then, I mean, hopefully they can fix it. But I don't know what can be enough for them to win back the trust of the people that they let down this year. Mm-hmm. You know, we just have to wait and see. Have you been to any sort of conference or thing that was just out of control? Like nobody knew what was happening?
Oh gosh, I don't think so. I am not. Parang feeling ko kasi these things, I stay away from them. Like okay. Big crowds and everything. Right. Unless lang talaga like invited ako or I have a job to do there. It's like, it's like definitely, it's not something that I know.
I will say though that the, in terms of the number of people that went, it just goes to show that, you know, the Philippines is like, we're down for big cons.
Market there.
Yeah. Like I know Comic Con is the king of all like comic book, movie, anime, whatever conferences or whatever in the world. But it feels like Philippines could be a hot spot, right? Up there.
Yeah.
For any sort of con. So if there are international, you know, companies or whatever that plan on making a big con in Asia, Philippines is definitely a place to be. I just don't know if we have the infrastructure. Because look at SMX, diba? This was done at SMX, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. And it's pretty big, but is there any bigger, I guess, Philippine arena? But san pa ba? No? Where else?
But Philippine arena, well, sabagay, they can make their own halls. Like they can divide it into like, but then again, I don't think it's made for that. It's made for like big crowds.
Concerts and shit.
Diba? No? Concerts and stuff.
Ang hirap lang kasi pumunta sa Philippine arena eh. Kailangan mo pa mag-NLEX. It's a pain, man. Oh, man. But any more thoughts, I guess, for you, Kaji, on Conquest 2023?
None. I'm excited for the next TT.
Oh, yeah. Wapow. I know you're a fan. I know you're a fan of SB90. I know you not recently, but you got into them when they came out with their, you know, with their first few hits here in the Philippines.
Yes. We're talking about SB19. And actually, I saw this whole issue on Twitter. And it only says here that I only saw the hashtag support local artists. And I do. I support local artists. It's just that there's this whole issue surrounding them. And it started in the program of It's Showtime. And there is this contestant from It's Showtime who requested to dance, you know, the new song of SB19, Gento. So they asked to play the song. But I think the whole issue here was, okay, I'm just going to tell you what happened first. Mm-hmm. Vice Ganda commented in like a joking way saying that naniningil na sila. And then Ann Curtis also kind of like went after that saying that, hindi ba good promo yun, you know, for the music industry, saying that, you know, playing the song would be a good promotion for them. Mm-hmm. And then they did continue saying, or Anne continued saying, na may ganung fee pala sila. And then that sparked the conversation with people saying that, you know, you should support local artists when they do ask for fees. And There are a couple of articles that did discuss the issue of music royalties.
Royalties, yeah.
And yeah, it kind of explained it well, actually. This is an article that I saw from Medium.com who described that, you know, music royalties, it's a whole thing. It's a whole complex thing that, you know, there are record labels and music distributors where there's a payment to be made for, you know, people who own the music, and it's their right to ask for payment. But it also depends on how long you're going to play the song, where it's going to be played, how famous is the song right now. And you do know that it is pretty yeah. big, the mm-hmm. song. It is mm-hmm.
it's a banger, by the way. That's a great song, bro. My yeah. favorite is the guy with the deep voice. I don't know the SB19 members, but he goes like,
"Hindi pa si Ken yon."
No. Ganun boses nga, it's so cool, yeah. man. It's a gym banger. So
they do have, you know, this is one of their biggest songs right now that they released. And in this article that I saw from Medium.com, they did say that it's possible that they have an SB19. It's possible that they have an exclusive license for their song. Mm. So they have every right to ask for payment for playing their song, especially on such a big show or program for its showtime. And I think one of the issues here is how they made it so jokingly. Na parang yeah. pinagtatawanan pa nila na
right.
bakit sila, you know, they're asking for payment. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
Which is also a little bit confusing, because I do know that Anne supports SB19. Kasi SB19, they showed up in her concert one time.
And so I think they're both Shopee ambassador. Wala lang, feel ko lang.
Yeah, so alam mo yun, parang they're collaborators. Yeah, they're yeah, in yeah, the yeah. same industry. Mm. And I guess for me, it's just a little sad for them to actually be questioning why they need to pay these musicians when yeah. they're, you know, they're an artist themselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you watch the video, diba, there yeah. was a, the reason why it went like that, there's a staff member who informed Vice like bawal daw. So mm-mm. I think what Vice and Anne could have done there was maybe highlight yun nga, the respect, or not respect, support local artists in that sense, instead of going down the route of bakit sila ganun, parang bakit sila snob, in a sense that's the mm-mm. tone that happened. It could have been like, ayaw nga pala, we remember that we have to support local artists, and if they, you know, I don't know what they could have done, you know, of yeah. course I'm sure Vice and Anne would probably have been able to do it well if they went down that route, but they should have mm-hmm. said something along the lines of, you know, we have to respect that's what they are asking for, and
exactly
yeah so sayang the
kumbaga parang what happened, kasi it's more of like a mockery na parang yeah. bakit mm-hmm. anong feeling nila, ang laki ba nilang artist ganun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Kumbaga parang questioning their whole existence as an artist. It is so, parang for me, it's a little sad for me to, you know, to see that, especially in the industry that they're both in.
Yeah. And I saw a lot of artists, like local artists on Twitter, voice their support for SB19 by tweeting similar things like pay your artists, respect local artists. Artists like Sam Concepcion and Quest. But then here's what happened, Rika G. So people took, like, quote tweeted Sam Concepcion, quote tweeted Quest, with pictures of them performing on Showtime and kind of bashing them, saying, but look, you actually went on Showtime. Look, you actually played your music there. But I don't think that was the right like rebuttal to that. I think that what Sam and Quest were doing was like, they really believe that you should support local artists. And they went mm-hmm. there willingly, I'm guessing, to promote, right? Like,
yeah,
if they were
definitely.
On the show. So parang mali yung tinatarget nila. I don't know. It just felt weird. Weird.
Obviously, when artists go on Showtime or any other like big programs on TV, mm-hmm. they're willing to do that. That yeah. is something that they're willing to do, I don't know, for free or for such a small amount, because they know what the power and the audience, the power of the audience that they have, right? Yeah. In mm-hmm. its Showtime. But in this case, I think kasi ito, wala namang kaso yung, wala naman yung SB19 dun eh. They didn't actually like personally say no. It's more of just their right as an artist. It is their legal right that they ask for payment, that they do have payment na parang for them to downplay payment, quote unquote, na parang nagiging madamot lang sila. Yeah. I think it's just that's the wrong message to portray to their audience, to their big audience that they have in It's Showtime. And honestly, for me, if you guys look at the, you know, the songs that they have right now and the effort that they're putting into promoting all their songs, you know, they're up there. And I do remember, you know what? Natatawa ako kasi, naalala ko, I saw this one TikTok where they went out of a car, like a van in Araneta or something. Tapos parang lumabas sila sa van, tapos parang they stuck something on the wall. I think it's for promotion of their song. Mm-hmm. Tapos obviously dun sa part ng Araneta na yun, walang tao kasi they're probably shooting that video for a TikTok or for an Instagram story. Tapos yung mga tao nagko-comment na, bakit sila nag-acting na pinagkakaguluhan sila? Sino ba sila? Wala namang tao na nandyan. And people are commenting back. Actually, sikat sila, guys. Yeah, relax. Yeah,
for real.
They probably just like went to that part of the venue para wala talagang
para
ibang
tahimik,
tao. So they can, para tahimik, so they can shoot their video.
Yeah.
Diba? Parang napapaisip ako na, why do people downplay local artists, Filipino artists? Actually, to say local artists nga for me.
Yeah, I get it. It
has a weird connotation. Filipino artists, you know, musicians. These are musicians. So,
And I think it's not just musicians. Just to kind of go off of that note, since we only have a few minutes left on our Zoom call, is that when it comes to acting as well, for example, I was able to work in a project on a commercial before with this guy. He's a Phil-Am guy. He came here and he used to do like TV shows in the States. He had minor roles and whatever. But the thing that I learned about that was even if he did a TV show years back, he gets royalties, aka residuals, right? Mm. If you ever seen Dante Bosco, who plays the voice of Zuko in Avatar, he has this whole series on TikTok where he opens up his residual checks and he gets money from projects he did like in the 90s, in the early 2000s. And that doesn't really exist here. For actors. So imagine even in the music scene, whenever a song is played on whatever, like a TV show, I think they just get like a one-time fee, but there's no residuals every time that thing is played, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that just goes to show how far back we are in terms of keeping up with what should be the standard for not just singers, but artists and everything to get what they're due. You know, if their work is used.
Yeah, it's also so, I really can't understand that whole concept na pinagtatawanan nila yung SB19 for them asking for royalties, for money to be played, for money for their song to be played on their program. Because I'm sure them as artists, artistas, you know, to be on something, they need to be paid. Diba?
Yeah. And it makes you question, did Showtime not know that? Like, they play a lot of big songs. Are they not paying the artists for, you know what I mean?
And,
like, I doubt
and sila
they
mismo. And sila mismo, when they go to an event, when they show up for an event, they get paid, diba?
Yeah, appearance fee. Diba? Yeah, parang, appearance fee tawag din, diba?
Yeah, exactly. So parang napapaisip lang ako, why the mockery all of a sudden? Na parang din downplay nila kasi quote-unquote local artist. Mm. You know what I mean? It's just so... And actually, alam mo ba, I don't know where I saw this video, but I do remember seeing it online explaining why there is this... there is this connotation na parang pag local artist or local music or Filipino music, baduy, quote unquote. Tapos I saw, kasi diba you kind of like hear those themes sometimes na parang papaisip ka, bakit pag sinabi mo na may gusto kang song that's in Filipino, iniisip ng mga friends mo, bakit baduy? Diba?
Yeah.
Tapos I think somebody explained it in a video na parang it started out in this whole era back in the, I don't know, 2000s or 90s or something, na parang yung songs, like Filipino songs, parang naakibat siya into comedy. Parang it was partnered with comedy, na Filipino songs are partnered with comedy. Parang
Yoyoy
ganun.
Villame, parang ganun. Yoyoy Villame.
Exactly, yes. Ganun. Mm. Na parang pinagtatawanan na lang siya when you play like a Tagalog song and stuff like that. Which is kind of like something na napaisip ako. Oh nga, no?
Yeah, bakit, Ocho-Ocho, diba? I mean, Ocho-Ocho, Spaghetti Song. I mean, these are big songs, but we know that like it's a humorous song.
It is.
People make
so
jokes
parang
out
napaisip
of it.
Ako, when did that shift happen? Kasi I do remember like the OPM industry before, as in grabe, the concerts that we have, you know, yung mga alternative bands like Kamikaze, Parokya ni Edgar and everything, like up until now they're big. Pero bakit parang for me, and especially in their heyday before, nung sumika talaga sila, grabe, they were super big. Like, yeah. I would go to a concert, I would pay for a ticket, diba? Pero parang nagkaroon nga ng shift na parang when people put out songs right now that's in Tagalog, bakit biglang baduy? And I don't know.
There must be some sort of musical historian that has done some sort of thesis on it.
Yeah.
And that would be a really interesting audio documentary to produce, huh,
Ryuji? Dude, you just gave me a freaking idea.
Write it down, friend. Like, diba? I think that is a great, that's a great closing point as well to this, you know? Like, I think, yeah, respect local artists, give them what they're due, and just, I guess, a call to action to all our, you know, don't underpay them either, right? Wag kayo magano, low ball. It happens all the time for everybody.
Speaking of Filipino artists, can I just say the new song of Al James and Zach Tabuldo. It is a banger.
Yeah, I like that song. I have it on my list.
Dude, what's the song again?
Let me pull it up. But there's another song that I also like called Uhaw by Dilaw. I don't know if it's new, but I heard it on yung mga parang top hits Philippines. That song's a banger too.
Yeah. So, Gusto. There
Gusto.
It is. Gusto is the song by Zach Tabudlo. Sorry, Zach Tabudlo and Al James. And actually, I think they just released their music video recently.
Oh, I haven't seen
it yet.
So
go watch that. Listen to it. It's a banger, dude. Ang ganda.
He's killing it, man. That guy is killing it.
Can you imagine yung voice ni Zach Tabudlo, di ba? Yung parang very sweet, ganyan, romantic. Tapos biglang papasok si Al James, sobrang baba ng boses niya. And then it's a rap, dude. It is such a good song. Please listen to it. Listen to SB19 songs. Yeah.
Gento, man. If you need a gym upbeat song to lift weights to, Gento.
That's it.
It's the
that
one.
Is it.
It's the one. Dude. And that is the podcast. Let's talk about your YouTube channel. I know, did you upload anything new this week?
Just on YouTube Shorts. Go check it out. We've been uploading a bunch on YouTube Shorts. And I know that nobody really goes to the YouTube channel of somebody
or
to watch their YouTube Shorts. You watch on YouTube Shorts. So just like, if you happen to see our climbs on YouTube, then if you like just like random vlogs that you want to watch while you're cooking or, you know, showering or something.
Yes.
Go watch. And that's it. How about you?
Yeah. Nothing really. Just make sure to tune in next week because starting next week, we have an exciting campaign. We're partnering. We have a sponsor. So we're excited for that. But of course, just I guess a call to action to please give us 5 stars. If you made it this far, I'm hoping that you enjoyed the podcast and do tell your friends. I don't know. I mean, tell your friends lang. Just tell your friends.
Yeah. And 5 star on Spotify,
stars.
Guys.
Spotify or App. I think Apple Podcast. I don't know. Do they have a, I think they have a star system too, right?
I think they do.
Yeah. Baka 10 stars dun eh. So give us 10 stars.
Kung pwede.
Follow us everywhere. The Halala Show everywhere. Except for Instagram where it's just Halala Show. We also have a Facebook group called The Halala Show Leche Fam. And we've actually kind of been posting a little bit more there. And there's people who always discuss the most recent mix in there. So you can participate in, as well as we like to call, you know, a conversation. Start a conversation on there. And email us at thehalalashow@gmail.com.
I miss emails.
Yeah, email us.
I miss emails. Please email us.
Yeah, thehalalashow@gmail.com. And that's it, man. I will see you next week. And extra song. Halalashow.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.